The next matter on our calendar for this morning is in the matter of the welfare of the child ECS SKD JMN parents. And the child of ECS SKD JMN parents. Council, each of you will have 15 minutes to present your argument. The timing restrictions are indicated in the light and the clock in the lectern, which you can raise or lower to your height at your convenience. Please state your name as you commence each leg of your argument, because we keep track of the argument in our audio recording of the proceedings. Counsel for Appellant, whenever you're ready, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Ann Carlson, on behalf of Appellant Mother ECS. The purpose of the rules of juvenile protection is to strengthen family ties, removing children from the home only when their safety and welfare cannot otherwise be safeguarded. What we have here is a long history of screened out child protection reports. What we don't have is a current condition that prevents mother from being able to create a safe, permanent home for her children. Specific conduct is what I was looking for throughout the duration of the trial. Specific conduct that is permanently detrimental to the health and welfare of these children. And what we have is evidence that mother, we don't have evidence that mother struggles with mental health. We have diagnoses. We have history that she has struggled with chemical dependency, but that wasn't an issue at the time of the trial. We have evidence that she has struggled with her cognitive abilities, but we don't link that evidence to her ability to create a safe home for her children. She appears deficient because of this evidence, but I can't make the link between these deficiencies and what is preventing her from safely caring for these children, providing a safe, permanent home for them. The only specific conduct that I was able to come up with after a great deal of reviewing the record is that she swears in front of the children, which is...
Well, what about the incident leading to removal?
The incident leading to removal...
That's an instance, isn't it, of failure to provide a safe environment for the children?
Yes, the children were removed because a SWAT team came looking for mother's then-boyfriend, who she broke up with prior to the trial. It wasn't identified in the case plan that her boyfriend was an issue or someone that she needed to cut out of her life.
But the record establishes the meth pipe as well as mother's meth use on that same evening, right? Or date.
Correct.
I'm not
and
sure
then
the time.
For 15 months she was sober from meth. There's no evidence that following the removal she ever used meth again leading up to the
I'm commenting on your point that there's no specific instance. There is a specific instance. So
a specific.
Then what's your argument?
My specific,
that condition was corrected?
That the condition was corrected.
Right.
That the condition that led to removal was could either be characterized as criminal activity or chemical use. And that between the removal in July of 2017 and the trial in September and October of 2018, there was no evidence that she used. And there was no evidence that she engaged in any criminal activity. And the reason for the removal was because they were looking for the boyfriend that she was no longer with. Another thing that I really struggled with in this case was inappropriate caregivers. It wasn't identified in the case plan that inappropriate caregivers is a condition to be corrected. It wasn't cited. And in the matter of the welfare of RMM states that for you to terminate parental rights, you need to fail to correct cited shortcomings. I feel this case plan that had 25 components would have been a struggle for me to comply with. I mean, there were components of this case plan that were not in the case plan. There were components she failed to comply with that weren't explained to her. You have to get family therapy. That's not in the case plan, but it's a recommendation of one of the many assessments we've given. Why didn't you figure that out, even though we failed to ever tell you that that was one of
And I'm forgetting, you know, it is a big record, so there was a lot to learn, and I appreciate that probably both counsel know it better than I do. But at some point, family therapy was a recommendation of It was either an evaluator or one of the therapists, I forget. And of course, the case plan does include the usual comment that mother is to follow all recommendations. So, I mean, isn't that arguably then within the case plan?
The record also indicates that the social worker never explained to her what the recommendations were of any of the assessments. The social worker never had a conversation saying this is what the assessment says. And the record indicates that my client struggles with reading and comprehending things that she reads. So I think that if erroneous results ensue when the shield of social services becomes a sword.
Is there a case law that supports the implied premise that you're suggesting, which is that when you have a written recommendation, there's an extra requirement for the social worker or the caseworker to orally communicate those requirements or explain them further?
I think that the case law states that reasonable efforts requires an exercise of due diligence in assisting the family in moving to a position where they would be able to reunify. I don't have a specific case off the top of my head.
You're suggesting generally then that it's not a reasonable effort. It's not reasonable to require something that the caseworker should have been aware was unclear to mom. Is that what you're suggesting?
Correct. I don't think it's a proper exercise of due diligence towards reunification to expect mom to follow recommendations of assessments that I'm not certain she ever even received. I don't know if she received them. I mean, there were a lot of service issues with this case and mom living with her parents and then living with her boyfriend and then living with her grandmother. I don't know that she received the recommendations. I know that I did not receive various recommendations and that the social worker instructed mom to be explained the recommendations by me. I would assume that that if you know someone struggles with reading, as in the record indicates she does, that an exercise of due diligence means that you would at the very least tell them what it is that they aren't complying with in the case plan, not wait until the trial to point out their perceived deficiencies that you never explain to them throughout the duration of working their case plan.
Does the record reflect Child Protection Services' awareness of mothers? I may be stating this wrong. It's not that she has an inability to read, but that auditory is more effective. Is that right?
Yep. The social worker, Ashley Klein, knew that and put it in the chronology in one of her statements that she made back in November of 2017.
And if you have a site for that, that's helpful. I don't expect it, but...
And I don't have
okay,
it, of course.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's in your brief. Yeah.
But yes, that they do know that she struggles with reading. They had planned on giving her a parenting assessment that was not 500 true-false questions written. It was a parenting assessment they intended to give that was auditorily given, and that because of scheduling difficulties, when a new social worker took over, they didn't make that same effort. And they gave her a parenting assessment that was several true-false questions and reached the conclusion she's not appropriate to independently parent. To be not appropriate to independently parent, to me, does not reach the same standard as returning the children would be permanently detrimental to their health or well-being. That's really an ideal, you know, is she ideal to independently parent? And she wasn't looking to independently parent. At the time of the trial, she was living with a grandmother who was offering to assist her in parenting, and she had family members living in the area who were also willing to assist her with anything that was being asked of her.
What about the arms worker? What does the record reflect mother's involvement was with the arms worker?
She was regularly meeting with an arms worker when the social worker came to the house prior to objecting to my request for a trial home visit, the arms worker was there. Mm-hmm. Now, were there missed visits with the arms worker? I believe there were some missed visits, but I don't remember the specifics.
What were the services being provided by the arms worker?
The arms worker, I believe was working with mother on scheduling.
Mm-hmm. Not medication?
I don't know. Right. Medication management is another one that was not in the case plan. Mm-hmm. It was a recommendation somewhere by one assessor, but it wasn't something that was, I mean, I wasn't able to advise my client, you need to be doing medication management, because it wasn't in any document that I had received. So it's difficult to tell someone how to comply with a case plan that has elements that you are unaware of. And, I mean, it would be difficult if you have learning disabilities to comply with this case plan without someone telling you the ways that you're not complying with it. I believe that she was set up to fail. I believe the goal was for her to fail this case plan, and that they kept adding elements to it for the purposes of making it so that it was always just out of reach. Whatever she did was never quite good enough. She was 3 minutes late to a visit. Put that in the petition determining.
Well, can you quantify the late, canceled, and no-shows for visits with the children?
Yes, there was one no-call, no-show in 2018. And when the social worker described mother's behavior with regard to the visits, she said there's 30 no-call, no-shows or cancels or lates, which I believe is mischaracterizing. One no-call, no-show that I understand happened because mother did not have cell phone reception and was camping. And I believe 6 canceled visits where she gave the social worker notice, told the social worker in advance, I'm not going to be able to attend this visit, which is what was written in the case plan. The case plan doesn't say don't miss any visits. It says, if you are going to miss a visit, tell the social worker in advance, which she did. And then this was used against her. Every other one, 23 of them were late. 23 of them were, she was 6 minutes late, 4 minutes late.
Did the late visits result in cancellation?
Not in 2018.
And this is out of 37 visits, I think. I mean, out of 90 visits, 37 had these, one of these elements.
There were more than 90, but there were at least 90. And 37 of the visits, up until they moved to a center that enforced this rule of you need to be here before the children arrive. Once they went to that center, she was never late. She was always on time for the visits. And the previous center had this rule of if you're more than 15 minutes late, we're going to cancel the visit. Well, with that rule and her understanding of that rule, which was not ideal, but she was 7 minutes late, 4 minutes late, various amounts late to these visits where she was being told, be no more than 15 minutes late. I mean, we're asking for a lot of this woman who actually gave a lot. I've never had someone try so hard to comply with a case plan, not that. And I believe that her compliance was substantial. 25 components, she complied with 24. We left a component in this case plan that allowed the social worker to subjectively reach the conclusion. She didn't demonstrate any insight. You know, we left a component in the case plan that allows the social worker to say, you've done the work, but I don't appreciate you, and we're done serving you. We don't want to reunify. That's the decision we've made. I think the district court was erroneous in its interpretation of palpable unfitness. Obviously, the district court shifted the burden of proving fitness to mother. That was clearly erroneous. The court didn't make the required findings of fact with regard to repeated neglect of parental duties, and the district court didn't make the required findings of fact with regard to failure to correct the conditions that led to out-of-home placement. Mother's mental health is not what led to out-of-home placement. The meth pipe is what led to out-of-home placement. And she corrected that condition by the time we had the trial. For that reason, I'm asking that the Court of Appeals will reverse and remand.
Thank you. You will have 5 minutes of rebuttal time. Counsel for respondent.
Good morning. My name is Janet Ryder. I'm the Chisago County Attorney, and in this matter, I represent the respondent, Chisago County Health and Human Services Department. May it please the court, counsel. This case is about a mother of four children, two of whom are the subject of this termination of parental rights proceeding that was resulted in a year and a half of out-of-home placement. And after 6 days of trial, the district court made thorough findings of fact, extensive conclusions of law, and concluded that termination of parental rights was warranted because the county had proven by clear and convincing evidence that we had proven three statutory bases to terminate parental rights, that reasonable efforts were made to allow for reunification of the children with the mother, and most importantly, that termination of parental rights was in the best interest of the children.
Sometimes we look at these case plans and they are tailored specifically to the presenting issue of the parent. Other times, sort of boilerplate, shotgun, list of burdens and obligations. Where would you put this case plan in relation to those that you have seen to be narrowly tailored to the actual presenting issues?
It would be my position that it was fairly well tailored to the conditions and the situation regarding this mother and her parenting ability. In this case, the county had worked with the mother since 2006 for nearly or over 10 years. During that time, the county had received 19 maltreatment reports of varying degrees with varying underlying bases. What the factors are in this case that needed to be addressed was mother's inability to parent, her lack of insight to her children's needs, her lack of attention to their needs, and overall neglect. So when we're talking about overall neglect, it wasn't centered on one simple issue, particularly the chemical use. There was mental health issues, there were cognitive issues. This case plan required her to complete some assessments so that we could get to the bottom of what those issues were. She did, in fact, complete Rule 25 or chemical use assessments, which at the outset required her to undergo treatment. So when we look at what this service plan was designed to do, it was designed to focus what the issues were that were presented and then narrowly come to a point of what those actual services were that were going to help her correct the out-of-home placement. So the Rule 25 assessment, the parenting assessment, the psychological or neuropsych assessment. What's noteworthy here is that the children were removed from her care in July of 2017. She didn't complete the Rule 25 or chemical use assessment until much later that year. She didn't complete the required parenting assessment and the required neurological assessment until April of 2018. These are critical aspects of her out-of-home placement plan that, although she completed them by the time we filed the termination parental rights petition in July of 2018, that delay prevented the county from really identifying what those issues were. Once those issues were identified...
despite the delay, and I think the record supports your characterization of it, the conclusion that the district court reached at trial, and I think it was based on all the testimony, is that the mother did complete most of the requirements of the case plan. Isn't that right? I mean, despite that delay, I mean, she completed the requirements of the case plan.
We would note that she had, as we say, checked the boxes or gone through rote completion of some of those initial assessments.
That's interesting that you bring that up. So where did that conversation happen with the mother, that although she had completed the case plan, it was rote completion or checked the box completion?
Certainly there was a review hearing in May of 2018 where those issues were contemplated. Counsel was asking for return of the children. By July, they were asking for trial home visit. Those were some very meaty discussions about what had the mother accomplished. At that point, she had failed to recognize the needs of her children. She was lacking insight. There were concerns about her willingness to fully engage in services, even though counseling was recommended as early as April of 2018. She did not fully engage in counseling to allow her to gather insight into her own mental health issues, significant trauma. She did not, though those recommendations were made, she didn't comply with the recommendations flowing from the parenting assessment.
Again, that read the district court's findings on mother's involvement in therapy, the court finds that she did comply with the requirement that she undergo therapy. I appreciate your point is also supported in the record is that there was a delay in mother participating in therapy, but she was. And that's not noted as a defect by the district court in the findings of fact.
I would acknowledge that specific finding was not made.
I would like to talk about what the district court does seem to focus on. And again, I think it is based in part on the themes raised at trial, which is that mother's inability to parent. You referred to that earlier as well, that's one of the overriding factors or concerns, mother's inability to parent. And I realize that's a complicated issue in this case because mother has many needs, as do the children in this case. But it seems that I'd like to hear your response to the argument appellant is making, is that with that being one of the primary themes raised at trial, it is a finding that the district court makes, mother's inability to parent based on the assessment that was done of mother. You know, where is the recommendation from the county or the services provided by the county to assist mother, for instance, by providing approved parenting education classes? I mean, that was done by mother on her own, right?
Certainly. But the county's goal was for mother to engage in intensive therapy. And that would have had she complied with that very basic requirement, that would have, it was the county's position that she would have made progress by the time that we came around to determining whether or not permanency through TPR was required. So the though she had completed some basic requirements, she did not fully engage in the services to address the bases for the out-of-home placement.
And when you say she doesn't, it helps me for you to be specific, okay, because there is a lot that is specific in this case. And most of it is that the mother complied with the requirements that the county asked of her with a few defects. And so what are the services that she didn't comply with regard to parenting education?
With regard to parenting education, she did seek out parenting education that was a one-size-fits-all type of education that did not take into account the information that the county had already known about her cognitive deficits.
So you're saying that the type of education she sought out wasn't the type of education the county thought she should participate in?
Our position is she went to a class, had the mother engaged in therapy, and then transitioned into family therapy, those services would have addressed her specific individual needs. Instead, she chose not to engage in therapy and didn't comply with that aspect of the case plan, which is, again, the complete the assessments, comply with the recommendations of those assessments, and that's where she failed to develop the insight.
Is there any indication in the record that if mom would have adopted the one-size-fits-all class recommendations, whatever they are, that her parenting would still be considered deficient? I understand that the county's position is, well, there's better training available. We want to be more intensive. But if mom chooses to go a different course, and that course, if mom follows the recommendations, would meet any concerns that are presented about her parenting. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that would satisfy the county's concerns about her parenting, wouldn't it?
There's a couple aspects here of that question that I want to address. First of all is that it wasn't adequate to address the issues that presented in this case, her overall lack of insight, lack of understanding of the child development.
That this program she was going to engage on would not be sufficient?
Well, I would say that it wouldn't be sufficient in this case, but the...
Was mother advised that it wasn't going to be sufficient, that she ought to find something else?
She didn't consult with the county until after it was presented at trial in September of 2018.
Service folks didn't know she was engaged in this?
Not until it was presented to us on the eve of trial. She did not engage in this parenting class in September of 2017. She did this nearly 18 months or 15 months after the children were removed from her care. It was, a rote, check-the-box kind of exercise by mom because we were on the eve of trial. She didn't consult with the social worker to determine whether or not it was appropriate. She didn't, instead of complying with therapy and gathering insight into her own...
What is the evidence that this was rote and not sincere?
Well, I would say that throughout the case, when she was undergoing the neuropsych eval and the parenting assessment, both individuals, I believe, Mr. Weber and Dr. Fisher noted that she was not fully, she was not frank and she was minimizing her own mental health.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about this. You said that her going to this one-size-fits-all class was just rote. And I'm wondering if there's evidence to support that characterization in the record.
I think that it would be in the transcript of the facilitator of that program who testified on behalf of the parent who indicated that it did not take into consideration mom's cognitive abilities, did not take into consideration.
The testimony by the parent educator?
Yes.
That it's not therapeutic?
It's not therapeutic. It's
and,
not
and,
tailored.
And I recall that. So, but again, what confuses me is I don't see where the case plan requires therapeutic parent education, and I've seen that in case plans. Mm-hmm. I don't see it in the case plan here. And yet that's what mother's being criticized for.
That's one of the aspects that she's being criticized for. Really, it is, again, the minimization, lack of insight, lack of understanding of what the real issues are in this case. Her lack of insight into her own mental health issues has prevented her from really putting the children first. Let us keep in mind that the paramount consideration here is the best interest of the children, and because she did not fully engage in the services that were required, she wasn't able to gain that insight.
I still don't understand. And maybe just give it one more crack, if you would. What is there in the record that would tell us that mom's participation in this class was simply rote? I gather you're suggesting it was insincere, it was just to check a box, and you've offered only the description of the class as being a one-size-fits-all, and the testimony indicating that that's essentially what it is. This is for parents to become better parents, but it's not specifically fine-tuned for anyone's presenting issue. Why? What does that tell us about the mom's lack of sincerity or the alleged roteness of her decision to participate? I don't understand.
I would go back to what I believe the record shows is that she sought that service on her own, did not consult with the social worker, determine whether or not it was appropriate.
Therefore, she's taking initiative on her own, and we should consider that. We should penalize her for taking initiative?
No, absolutely not. There's several factors, again, the delay, had she done that early on in the case plan, it might have made a difference in her parenting. Her delay, her lack of insight, her going to a class where she's...
What does the delay have to say about whether her decision was rote and checking the box? Well, why would that bear upon, at the moment that she made the decision, is there something in the record to say that she didn't have a change of heart or recognition that I need help and therefore I want this class because I need help, generic or not?
I just would say that, go back to the record, the timing of it. It was September of 2018 after the children had been in out-of-home placement for that amount of time. It was not to, at that point in time, she had had access to the neuropsych eval. She had access to the parenting capacity assessment. And instead of engaging...
What do you mean she had access?
Those were provided to her and her counsel. I believe that the social worker had discussed those with her, but certainly at that point in time, they had been provided to counsel as far as discovery. And if there were mother's true desire to engage in services, to gain insight, to meet the needs of her children, those would have included therapy, counseling, family therapy to help her meet the needs of her now special needs children who had been diagnosed with social emotional.
As social services was observing what was going on and believing it wasn't adequate, did they come up with a proposed amended case plan that would be adequate? Go back to the trial court and say, this is what we really need to do with this plan to reunify this family? Did any of that occur?
I would, again, acknowledge no, because it was in the eve of trial in September of 2018, certainly...
Well, how about 6 months earlier?
The county's position was that the mother had initially engaged in some therapy, had not fully engaged in the therapy, and Had that been...
And was it spelled out what additional was needed then? Or was there the county in the delay process, running the string as far as we can, and then we'll terminate? And what, you know, the delay to me works both ways. She's delaying and doing what you wanted her to do, but it looks like the county is happy to sit back and watch the delay and then say, okay, now it's termination time, instead of saying, we've got these assessments, this is what the assessment recommends, let's work on getting that done, here's what we can do. Did any of that kind of thing occur?
I believe that there were efforts...
Seems to me that that's what ought to occur if we want to come to the conclusion that the county has made reasonable efforts. They can't just have a list of 25 things and check off. Talk about checking boxes. Check off who does what, as opposed to being engaged with that person to see what's been done, what needs to be done. Okay, do you need some help getting this done? And here's what we do. I don't see that last part occurring here.
I believe the record reflects that the social worker, Ms. Mitby, had, if not weekly, regular phone conversations with the mother to address what services were being followed through on. I don't have a...
Did the record reflect what occurred at those meetings?
I know that there was some testimony that the mother was often upset with the social worker and was aggressive and often swore at the social worker and that they were not productive.
Were the social worker's notes part of the evidence?
Pardon?
Were the workers' notes of these meetings part of the evidence?
Not the full chronology of the year and a half of services. Those were not part of the record. It was presented via testimony of the social worker.
Was there a change of social worker in here, too?
The initial social worker at the time of the initial CHIPS petition in March 2017 was one social worker. Then a social worker worked with Ms. with the mother from July of 2017 and through December of 2017. The final social worker worked with the mother from January of 2018 through the trial. So again, with that, I'll ask the court to affirm the trial court's decision to terminate parental rights because the court had made findings that we proved each of the statutory bases that reasonable efforts were made and that the termination is in the best interest of the child. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ryder. Ms. Carlson, rebuttal.
Thank you. Yes. Mother looked for a parenting class. She reached out to the social worker months in advance of the trial. The chronology is one of the exhibits that was entered onto the record at trial. I believe it's Exhibit 100. You'll find throughout Exhibit 100 that the social worker is actively working against mother, antagonizing mother, sending emails saying, let's cancel her visits, let's do this, let's do that. The social worker was very set on not reunifying this family, and I think that the chronology makes that very clear. Also, a parent's ability to interact with their social worker in a calm manner, especially when the case is that mom is being told by the district court, you're going to get unsupervised visits. And the social worker says, no, we're not going to give you unsupervised visits. We don't care what the district court says. We're social services, and we call the shots. I mean, I can understand her frustration towards the social worker when the social worker is not giving her what the judge has given her. She reached out for a parenting class back in June or July. It was prior to them filing the TPR petition. And she did that without the assistance of the social worker. She did that on her initiative, and the social worker never took any steps to assist her in getting enrolled in any better or different parenting class, and then saved this one component of the case plan. You didn't demonstrate insight. You didn't demonstrate that you've improved in your parenting ability. We don't see that as this subjective, I don't believe it because that's my opinion. Not, I don't believe it because I've looked at the notes from your visitation and it seems like you're not engaged in caring for your children. The visitation notes indicate that she's very engaged with the children during the visitation. There's a lot of love, there's a lot of hugs, there's a lot of the children asking to be brought home, they're asking to leave foster care. And there's not a specific parenting deficiency that I can see from the visitation notes. That says that mom can't do this. Is assistance going to be necessary? I think that Whether assistance is necessary, yeah, she'll probably need some assistance. But that doesn't mean that we terminate her parental rights just because the social worker finds her difficult to deal with, which I think is the reason we're here, is because the social worker found her difficult.
What's the clearest representation in the record of the social worker's response to mom's communication about wanting to participate in parenting classes? What's the clearest indication on the record of the social worker's response to that communication by mom?
I don't believe the social worker's response during her testimony was that she reached out to FamilyWise to inquire about whether or not there was a parenting education curriculum available. So that's what the social worker did. She made a phone call. She didn't follow up on it. She didn't advise mother that there was or wasn't a class, but she did testify at trial that she had made that phone call. So mother, on her own initiative, found Love and Logic. She attended it. By the time the trial was over with, she had completed it. The social worker never told her, here's a class you should be going to, here's a better class, here's what we want you to improve on. It was just waiting for her to fail.
So what about the record with regard to mother's involvement in her own individual therapy? You heard the argument made by Respondents' Council. The county obviously thinks that's significant, that she delayed in regular attendance at individual therapy, which, you know, arguably delayed all of the timeline for other things, such as family therapy, the effect of parenting education.
My problem with a case plan that has 25 components, and one of them is that you need to obtain and maintain full-time employment, and then you need to also maintain and obtain suitable, stable housing, and then you need to go to therapy, you need to get your chemical use assessed, you need to get into family therapy in addition to individual therapy, though we're not going to recommend family therapy because we're not going to recommend reunification. We want you to be involved in various services that we may or may not tell you about for your daughters. You got 25 components and no explanation as to the most important component is this and the next most important component is this. The most important component is that you maintain sobriety. The next most important component is that you maintain employment. And mother did the best she could with the resources that she had in assuming that maintaining employment was a high priority on this case plan. I believe it was one of the top ones, if not the top element, probably after chemical use. But her compliance was substantial in that she was trying to complete all of these things, and whether or not she immediately engaged in individual therapy, I don't know that that was explained to her at the time of removal as the most important thing that you need to do right now is get into individual therapy. But she did get into it, she engaged in it, and she was seeing her therapist regularly by the time of the trial. So there is no evidence that she was opposed to addressing any mental health concerns that the agency perceived that she had. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, and thank you to both counsel for your briefs and your oral argument. The matter is submitted. We will issue our opinion deciding this case within the statutory period. Thank you.